This is for the men who never settle. The ones who believe only quitters end a game in a tie. The type of guys who choose the bar with the biggest TVs to overcompensate for theirs at home. This is the Lodge mentality. This is Twin Peaks.
Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services, locally owned and operated, and HLAC certified, meeting the highest industry standards. Walker has partnerships with hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in and around the metro area. Walker Medical Linen Services in Kansas City and online at walkermls.com.
Covering the game for us at Arrowhead Stadium was Todd Lebo. I retweeted and circled a picture of him grinding, working hard, interviewing Justin Reed. But it's good, and that is significant, to be able to gather round players and actually get a chance to talk to him.
I had not been in that locker room since after the AFC Championship game against Tennessee. Because I'll be honest, I didn't go to the preseason games this year. The locker room was open, and I did not grind on the preseason game. So I did not go in there and see that. So it is different. It's nice. They've redone it. They got some nice things. They got like little pull out things for your hanging up nice clothes and stuff like you see in college locker rooms now, and some new lighting and stuff like that. It was cool, and I did feel exposed when I got around the corner there where Justin Reed was, because everyone was kind of piled on one side and I needed to get a little closer. So I went around. I'm nimble. Right. You guys know that. And then I looked up and I just saw a bunch of cameras, like, oh, boy, this is going to be bad. This looks like a meme coming from Steven.
Oh, it's a circle. Did you see when I circled you?
I really enjoyed that.
It was like a telestrator circle.
You know? Every day I come in here, that stupid computer over there has a similar thing.
I made that for you.
Ian Kennedy.
I made that for you on PhotoGrid. Now, let's play our favorite comment from Patrick Mahomes, where we, once again, it is confirmed that Patrick Mahomes pays attention to things that are said about him, especially by Pro Football Focus.
I mean, you never know. I mean, I think that's that. You saw the ball hit the ground. You saw a little bit of movement. But they have been a little bit more lenient on letting the ball move and if the guy gets his hands underneath it. So you hope that it's called no return, obviously. But on the play, they got me. I mean, they were all game. They were playing one coverage, and out of nowhere, they threw me with a shell coverage with the corner who had been playing, just kind of getting out of there the whole time. He dropped down to play cover two, and so it got me. I mean, I don't throw it just straight to guys most times, and so but got lucky enough that it bounced around, hit the ground, and I was able to get another chance at it. I'm sure PFF will have me a low grade for that, but I'll keep it rolling.
It's the last question of his availability.
That
was his walk-off moment.
Yeah.
It was good. Too. But that's what I asked the question about, because, I mean, I heard you talking about how you were bringing that in as you were watching, and Nate was in the stadium watching that play and the review, and mm-hmm. I was up in the press box watching.
What did you think?
I thought it was an interception. But then immediately,
Nate thinks you're a moron.
Jesse Newell's back there, and he was listening, I think, to the broadcast, and that's when their officiating guy came on. He immediately
right
said,
away.
Oh, the ball moves. So then we all started looking at it differently. The point is, it should have just been caught.
Right. The national pundits all thought it was an interception. I thought it was an interception, but I said they're going to overturn it because that's what the NFL does. And then who's their officiating analyst?
It's Hussey.
Here?
No, Terry something,
sorry.
Maybe. Terry McCauley?
Terry Wayne?
Is it?
I like to make him laugh. I like
Nate,
to make
you
this
think?
Young boy laugh.
Terry Wayne?
Anyway, they didn't write it
right
there,
away. Goes, now, it just looked to me like that's the kind of play that's supposed to be a caught ball, whether it's an interception.
He controlled it and it touched. I don't think the Grand helped to control
it. Who was the guy?
But I'm telling you, as soon as I said, oh, they're going to overturn that.
Well, and if, that's this. If you're a conspiracy theorist, you're like, oh, this game's going to be over if this is an interception. Now this,
yes,
the fix is in NASCAR.
Do you guys agree with that? And, if that was an interception, do you think
I thought the game was over? The place was dead. You were in the stands. If that's 17-7, they have the ball right there, and they go up 24-7. I mean, the place was like,
yeah,
it the air had been sucked out of it on that, because that was two straight passes where they intercepted the ball
for sure.
I don't know if they come back from that.
I don't. I'm not saying they do come back from it, but the game's not
over. It's never over with Mahomes.
It's Mahomes.
But it was going to be a deep, deep hole from there.
It would have been. It was a massive plane.
But immediately, their analyst said, "That's not an interception. That's going to be overturned." Even Jason Whitlock, what is he talking about? That's a pick. And so then I knew for sure.
Do you remember the NFC Championship game between the Bucks and the Rams, where that was the play of the game? It was like Jaquez Green or something, and the ball, he clearly controlled it, but it touched the turf, and they said it's incomplete.
That was a pass from Sean King.
And after that season, I think, is when they went back and said, come on, this is stupid.
No, but
you have to be able to have the ball in your hands. Now, the problem this guy had is he bobbled the stupid ball to start with.
He juggled and he did everything but catch it. It was delivered
to him.
Well,
as Patrick said, that was, I think, maybe one of the worst passes I've seen him throw, because he got though.
Look, the other one that was really bad was when he tried to rifle it in there to Jody Fortson, because could have been a pick six.
It was 104 yards.
And let me tell you, and this is the bottom line, because I don't want to hear it from Chargers fans or anyone else.
Either one of them.
Well, they threw the football right to Jalen Watson. Anyone can catch that. Not anyone, because guess what? I bet you Asante Samuel Jr. didn't catch that. That bounces off his chest and his helmet and hits the ground. Jalen Watson caught the ball, ran with the ball, made Justin Herbert miss, and as Stan Weber pointed out, maybe that's where Justin Herbert first got hurt, because it does look like he kind of winced after he reached to tackle him, and he ran it all the way back for a touchdown. When Asante Samuel had a chance to make game-changing interceptions, he didn't do it.
Can I ask a question about on that Fortson one? Because you mentioned it looked like Fortson thought it was going to be more like toward the corner of the end zone.
And that's where it should have been.
And I'm thinking to myself, why in the world, if you're going to throw it to Watson, are you not throwing it up in the air?
Yeah, jump ball, you know? Like a fade.
Fortson.
Yeah.
If you're throwing it to Fortson, why are you not throwing it up in the air?
There were
100% some miscommunications last night between Mahomes and the receivers.
Maybe
one to Valdez-Scantling where it was like he looked like he thought he was going to sit down and he didn't, and there was another one to McColl, because there's one of those like every week, and then there was that one to Fortson. So they're not humming along like a machine yet, because it's going to take some time to do that. It was easier to do that against the Cardinals, who aren't as good defensively. The Chargers, I thought, probably won the line of scrimmage most of the night, but they didn't make the plays that it took to win. This was a hard-fought AFC West game.
They beat the hell out of Herbert,
I've been saying for 6 months, you want to watch every AFC West game when they're playing the AFC West. They're all going to be good. That Chargers-Raiders game was good on Sunday. And when the Raiders play the Broncos, it's going to be a good game. And when the Chargers play the Raiders, they're all going to be good games. They're going to be fun, hard-fought games, because there are talented players everywhere. All levels of play on all of these teams. It's the best division in football, and you have to be able to make those plays. But it was just one of those deals where the Chiefs, and you look back in 15 years or something, and there'll be so many games where, the Chiefs just made like two or three more plays, and that's why they won the game. But that's what you do when you put together this kind of dynastic type stuff where you win the division over and over. You win sometimes, you kick someone's ass, and sometimes you just find a way to not lose it. And the Chargers lost it, and it'll just go down as a W. They're not all the most amazing things in the world, but they all count.
What did you think of this sequence here? You see Gerald Everett trying to get out of the game. Some people said they thought he did something to his hamstring. It looked like, and the announce crew thought that he was just winded. Mm-hmm. But he's trying to get out of the game.
But they were going tempo.
And they were going tempo, and so he didn't have anything. He went it out, And so he runs back to the line.
Go ahead and line up.
And they line him up, and then he runs his half-ass route.
I didn't even think you'd even call it half-ass. Quarter-ass route.
And this was like I told Nate earlier, reminded me when Tyson got knocked out by Buster Douglas. After this, he stops.
He's like, oh,
drops his mouthpiece, and not even paying attention. There's a pick six, and he's... picks his mouthpiece up. It's like he was toast.
He was in La La Land.
Right.
They did this last year against the Chiefs. They would run tempo down in the red zone. Remember, there were times where they couldn't get the play in. They didn't know what was up. And I talked to Justin Reed on Tuesday in the locker room, and he mentioned that they have to be ready for going for fourth downs and be ready for tempo. And they were running tempo kind of like you see a lot of college teams do, where you run it after a first down. You know, you get that first down on a play where you pick up some yards.
Oklahoma always did that.
You get a first down, then you start going, and then that's what they were doing on that play, and it bit him because it was a nice pressure by Willie Gay.
Yeah.
And then Herbert threw a ball that probably, and if Watson did a different thing, would have been a ball that was like, well, that was a bad play.
Samuel have caught the ball.
Well, he would have batted it up in the air.
Off his face mask, off his foot, and then it would hit the ground.
Well, I think Samuel looked like freaked out because, you know, you don't generally just throw the ball to the other team, and that's what that one looked like.
He had two chances to change the game, and he didn't, so good for him. Jalen Watson capitalized. Let's hear Jalen Watson on the pick six.
So we knew they liked to throw switch routes in the high red. So me and Justin, we worked together. The ball just ended up in my chest, and I took it home. It was a surreal feeling. I'm just so grateful and blessed to be in this position. And I didn't even know what to do when I got in the end zone. That's why everyone seen me just standing there. But it's a moment I'll never forget.
Here is Sports Radio 810's Todd Lebo as he asked Watson about the run back on the pick six.
When you get that ball,
whoa.
Right? pretty much the only person who's going to attack you is the quarterback, right?
Yep.
So take us through the actual run back part of it, and you don't want to get tackled by the quarterback.
Yeah, we have a rule. DBs, you can never get tackled by the quarterback. So that was my first job, making a move on him, then just trying to race to the end zone.
You know what? That's not nothing, because I've seen defensive backs get tackled by the quarterback, and Herbert's not a bad athlete, and that changes the game too, man, you know? Because touchdowns were kind of hard to come by, and he returns it all the way. It was a great run back.
Hey, Herbert was probably a little bit gassed, too. You saw Everett on that play. That was a decently long play to get down there, and they ran down there, played tempo right away. And then he's, like, obviously disappointed that he sees what happened on the route, because then you see his facial expressions later when he's standing by Everett on the bench. Like,
he rolled his eyes.
Like, what's this guy doing over here? Right. And then he runs out there, and it was just a great play by Jalen.
Great play.
It's a wonderful story. He's like you mentioned, this is what I've talked about this team a bunch.
Talk about
over the past 3 or 4 years. This team, there are new guys on it now. It's loaded with dudes who were overlooked in some way. Even Patrick Mahomes, who's the MVP of the league and has a $500 million contract, was a 3-star, under-recruited quarterback athlete in Texas, where everyone gets recruits to offers to everywhere. What's Jalen Watson's story?
He's working at Wendy's, trying to find out where to go to school.
Like, go JUCO, work at Wendy's for his mom, and then, you know, go to Washington State and get picked in the seventh round with a 200.
Right now.
What's Asante Samuel's life been?
Dropping interceptions?
Well, or being the son of
I'm sorry, I thought you were last night.
And he went to Florida State, and he was a high draft pick. You know, he's a second rounder. I mean, the Chiefs have – Travis Kelce was a – 2-star whatever.
Killer Trav on Instagram.
Who didn't get recruited. He's from Cleveland. Where was that Ohio State offer? You know?
He didn't get one.
No. And, I mean, you know, they're just – there's so many of the dudes on this team who were just like, man, I'm just a guy who scrapped and clawed, and they made it, and they're all on the best team over the last 4 years or so in the NFL. But, and now this is a brand-new guy, and he's got that attitude.
But there's also – superstars on this team,
but they're mostly superstars who have a chip on their shoulder, like Patrick Mahomes, the PFF's going to get me, and Travis Kelce
wasn't a first round pick.
No, he was a 2-star recruit who wasn't a first round pick who got kicked off his college team for being a knucklehead, and he's the best tight end in football.
But the thing is, those superstars on this team treat those
like their brothers,
the 53rd man on the roster,
100%,
like they're the most important guy on a team. I mean, I think it's like we have Garrett Dieter in studio every week, and it's clear he and Kelce and Mahomes are incredibly close friends.
Right.
Garrett Dieter was struggling to make the practice squad, you know, like he got a few reps in the NFL, you know, but they
Yeah.
And that, to me, like, that goes back to what we were talking about, man. It was such a poignant moment to me when I saw McKenna break off a run, and he was running off the sideline to get subbed out, and Pacheco was coming in. Edwards-Helaire, the starting running back, the first-round pick, is going crazy for McKenna.
They
jumping
really
up and
like
down
each other.
And hugging him.
That running back
and,
crew.
And they have to because they're a unit. Mm-hmm. But not every team has that, right? Like, when you got those – and I don't think the Chiefs had that for the first half of last year, by the way.
Well, that's one of the things that we missed out on, not being in the locker room.
Yeah.
I really had the feel in, like, 2019 that this was an incredibly special team.
Yeah.
You just felt it in those 30 minutes that you were in there on Wednesday or Thursday, and we went 2 years without being in there. I promise you, it didn't feel like that last year.
Did you see Tyrann Mathieu's
article yesterday in SI, this long expose where he was talking about some of these things? And, you know.
Is it wrong if I don't want to read that?
I didn't see
it. Well, go find the part where he reads it, and then they say, it sounds like you should be looking in the mirror. But Tyrann Mathieu admitted he was part of the problem last year. He was thinking about his contract. He was doing this, and he's sitting there hemming and hawing all year long because he hadn't talked to Brett Veach. Because, you know, like anything in the world, communication is important. And they're just like, well, he hadn't called me, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Well, I don't want
to
read.
Talk to him, you know. But this team right now, it's week two, okay? But they got that little feel like Justin Reed is a true leader. And, you know, he's out there making plays, and Juan Thornhill is stepping up, and he's a leader. And they got all these dudes like Jalen Watson and Josh Williams, and they're just like dudes. And
Chenault made some big plays yesterday.
Chenault sticking his nose in there.
And Jalen Watson, the 7th-round pick, ahead of Josh Williams, a 4th-round pick.
Yeah.
And Jalen Watson comes in, and again, I cannot say enough about this draft class and what we saw up in training camp, what we saw in the preseason, and what we're seeing right now. And not only have they built for the future and given Patrick Mahomes plenty of supporting, you know, cast members that are young and on the up, they're 2-0 while they're doing it. And if you watch, if you can't get giddy about this and think about, damn, they're all pretty good right now. But just think how good as they started coming together and the defense coming together and the offensive line getting better. They're the fifth mm-hmm. youngest team in the NFL. You have to be giddy thinking about the success and the hits in the last three drafts. This is excellent, and the Chiefs are going to continue to get better.
And when you win a game like this, it's a little bit ugly. You just put one away, and then it makes you feel a little bit better about the whole thing.
This is why I was so in favor of trading Tyreek Hill, because when we were talking about the time, there are some organizations, and I think the Chiefs actually kind of did this going up until this year, which was, oh man, we got a window open right now because we got this quarterback and we're good enough to win a Super Bowl. Let's just sign veterans and go for it right now and worry about the future later. My point was, when you got Mahomes,
big window.
The window's 10 years or mm-hmm. more. And so you need to build the roster so that it's sustainable. Don't just play for next year and mortgage. When you got Stafford at the end of his career and you're the Rams, yeah, mortgage the future. Go for it right now. When you got Peyton Manning and you're in Denver and he's old, go for it right now. But when you're the Chiefs and you got Mahomes for the next 10 years, play for the next 10 years.
This is a reset. It's not a hard reset. It's a bit of a reset.
I love
you
the
can
fact
get
that
the picks,
done that.
But you get to hit on them.
And
right,
on
right
them.
Now,
that's
it's
right.
all good.
That's right.
Right
that's
now,
right.
all good.
It's looking good.
Let me hear.
It's looking incredibly good.
Let me hear Andy Reid talking about halftime adjustments, number two, Marco, because, look, the first half was ugly. It was sloppy football, and I really felt the Chiefs were fortunate to only be down 3 mm-hmm. at halftime. It felt like it should have been more, and it could have been more. Here's Andy Reid, number two, Marco, on halftime adjustments.
So I didn't have to say much. I mean, the guys, we had a couple of hiccups on offense. We didn't do the right thing a couple different times. It cost us in big situations. So we felt like if we could get back on track offensively, eliminate some of the mistakes, we'd be okay. Defensively, Spags just tightened everything up just a bit. and the guys started challenging, and you know, it paid off. So he made a few adjustments there.
Okay, before we send you packing, mm-hmm. it looks like Stan and Danny are searching for you, looking for you, mm-hmm. high and low. We have a little thing here on Friday called TBIF. You know what that stands for?
It's thank something. It's Friday.
Thank Boulevard. Boulevard.
That's right. Yeah.
You ever have a Boulevard on a Friday, a nice cold one?
I had one. I had one on the way into the stadium last night. I packed a four pack of Bob's. Yeah, I had one. Yes. On the way into the stadium.
Oh, when I was doing a room. By the
I
way,
had one on the way into the stadium.
You weren't driving, were you?
No.
Okay, good.
No, and then I had.
Oh, when you're walking to the stadium, trash can. Here we go.
It was a long walk.
And so, if you, with your descriptive words, look at what would it's you? What is that over there?
It's a wall decor.
It's a canvas,
and it's a Boulevard Brewing logo that says Kansas City on it, and it's Chiefs red and gold.
Don't you wish you could have that on
it's
your
a
wall?
Wonderful thing for a bar or a you know or a formal dining room.
How about a Border Patrol listener?
That'd be great.
913-3810.
Caller number.
Caller, because the Chiefs. What was the score last night?
How about since Jalen Watson had the pick at 35? Caller number 35.
What was the score last night?
It was 99 yards, though.
99.
Caller number 99.
Nine. Caller number 99 callers. And Marco will pick one.
Marco's choice.
99 callers and Marco will pick one.
John, I hope you're comfortable because we're not breaking.
99 callers and Marco will pick one.
How about caller number two? They're 2-0.
How about caller number 69?
How about caller number 15?
How about caller number six because there was a pick six?
There we go.
Yes, and, there we, and yeah, this, there we go.
This, were you having a Bob's 47?
This six gets. I did have a Bob's 47.
Less 47 plus six plus 99 minus. This is
you
six.
But here's what
is
you
Marco
do.
On the ground? Where'd he go?
It's a Boulevard Brewing Company, Kansas City Canvas in Chiefs colors. I'm just going to tell you, if you have a room where you watch the games, you put this up there and it is gorgeous.
Centerpiece.
Beautiful.
And because it's TBIF. We're going to give this to caller number six, 913-3810-810. If he don't answer, then call him again. You like that?
You're probably not going to have much luck with your number six to get back in.
All right. Any final comments of anything you saw or did?
2-0, man. 2-0. Now, you made it. You survived the short week and against a division rival at home, and now you got time to relax, to chill, get a little healthy. They couldn't have been a better start for the Chiefs season.
What gift did Amazon give to all the media members last night?
4K Fire Sticks.
Mm. And what?
And a cookie.
What else was cool about who honored Len Dawson with little gifts for
little,
people?
Little Fresca, little koozies, and little small Frescas.
How about that?
Cigarettes? You get cigarettes with them?
Yeah, did you get a cigarette going out?
A cigarette and a folding chair.
That's fantastic. Todd, great job last night covering the Chiefs.
Thank you.
Yeah. Hey, so, you know, he takes a picture of you.
I just circled. Telestrator.
I send you a picture of Chase Daniel circled, zoomed in, and you give me nothing.
Because you're making fun.
Oh, he's not making fun of me?
I'm showing people you're out there working.
I'm showing you your
I'm
guy.
I'm showing people you're out there working.
Your guy got in the game last night.
I'm showing you your guy. I had my tweet ready.
If I'm Chase Daniel, screw handing it off. I'm going deep, baby.
I have my tweet ready saying, I am now rooting against Chase Daniel.
For the first time.
This is the circle of life has been completed.
Con zero.
This is it.
Time is a flat circle.
I was ready. I was ready to boo the hell out of him. But a handoff and that's it. And then Matthew said, give me my game check now. I did my job and I did it well.
It worked for it.
That's right. That's Todd Leba who covered the game last night. We'll be back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. Programming note, I'll be out on Monday and Tuesday, but Marco, very excited. On Monday, Nate will be joined by Bob Ibach. And so I know that you were talking about that a little bit earlier. I make things happen for you, buddy.
Hey, I appreciate you making things happen for me.
Even when I'm not here, I'm thinking about what's best for you.
Oh, I know.
You know? I'm waiting.
Thank you.
There. Thanks. You know.
You want me to snag a football for you?
Snag this.
Snag something.
Can you snag Deion Clissot for me? Preps KC.
I don't think I need to. I think he's ready to be snagged.
What's up, Deion Clissot?
Not much, gentlemen. How are you guys doing this morning? Did you get any sleep?
Oh, we get tons of it. We got so much sleep, we don't know what to do with it. You know? Nate came straight here from Arrowhead, so he's ready to roll. Let's talk.
I've done that before,
I know.
By the way.
I didn't do it this time, but I've done that before. Preps KC, Deion Clissot. Let's start on the Missouri side with the Missouri player to watch, and that takes us to Ray Peck. Who is it?
Xander Dombrowski, their quarterback's having an outstanding year. Ray Peck's got one of the best offenses in the Metro. Of course, he got Jaden Doss, Nebraska commit. We'll see how that goes.
Why?
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
They've also got another receiver, last name is Riddell. He's fantastic. He's got offers from Tennessee and some other places. So they've got two Power 5 guys at receiver. They got a really good tailback. But really what makes it go is Dombrowski. He's done a great job just distributing the ball. He's a second-year starter, the senior on that offense. And they've got Blue Springs South this week, who's 2-1, and Ray Peck's 3-0, but all their games have been one-score games. It beat Liberty 34-31 last week. The week before, of course, was the 57-50 win over Park Hill, and they beat Rock by 7 the first week. So Dombrowski and that offense gets lots of opportunity because the defense at Ray Peck is kind of a work in progress. They're on the field a lot, and they've got to get out there and score some points. And he really does a great job of triggering that offense, and I'm looking for another shootout this week with Blue Springs South.
Why don't you tell me about the Missouri team to watch? Right down the street from my house, the track where I do my walking and sometimes some talking, what about Park Hill?
Well, if you want to talk about shootouts, Park Hill is your team.
All right.
They won week one against Columbia Battle 68-38. They scored 50 points the second week and lost by 7 to Ray Peck. They scored 49 last week and lost by 1 to Blue Springs South. They can, you know, Kendrick Bell, Ronnie Bell's little brother, their quarterback, they can really score points. They get up and down the field. Offensively, they are as talented as anybody. Defensively, they're struggling a little bit right now. They've got Liberty. Liberty's got a pretty good team offense as well. Their defense is not bad, so they may slow them down a little bit, but I fully expect Park Hill to be in a shootout. I mean, if you're Park Hill and you're averaging almost 60 points a game and you're 1-2, it's tough. At some point, something's got to turn for you. I think they've got a good shot this week, but they definitely, if you just want to go watch a good old, you know, Texas Tech-style game where those teams are going to score in the 40s and 50s, then go watch Park Hill play. They are your team.
All right. Now, let's talk about some games to watch. At the top of the list, I'm going to be at this game tonight. As I was told by my daughters, please don't go to the game. I will still go to the game. I'm not allowed to talk to them, but I will keep a close eye on them, much to their anger. How about Maryville at St. Pius X? That's a big one, a real big one, Deion.
It is a big one. You know, and Maryville's up in Class 3. They're in the same district with Pius this year. These two teams, along with Savannah and Chillicothe, to a certain extent, Chillicothe's kind of struggling right now, are the teams in that district that are all vying for that top spot. Maryville played Blair Oaks, who's ranked number 2 in Class 2. The first week of the season got down big and then battled back, and then they've just been cruising since then. They're rolling. Now, at the same time, Pius has only given up 6 points in 3 games. So defensively, they're as good as anything. They're going to be tested by this Maryville team that's a little different than what you used to see out of Maryville. Maryville used to be option offense. They've got a quarterback, and I'll have a great podcast up with the Maryville coach later today, and he talks about how they've got their quarterback as the point guard of their basketball team, and he said he watches a lot of 15 on Sundays. So there's a lot of, well, how do you like to say, off-platform throws that he makes. So this is a Maryville team that can throw it a little bit more than they've ever in the last decade at least. So this is going to be the best test for St. Pius' defense. You know, this is a game that they've played a lot over the years, even before Pius joined the league, because they'd be in the same district and battle all the time. And so St. Pius has won the last two games, so Maryville's kind of looking to get back here. And that was kind of the thing that set St. Pius going a couple of years ago, was when they beat Maryville. They felt like they were getting over the hump.
That's right.
But now they're just both two really good teams, and it's going to be a battle. You got to get this regular season game because you want that tiebreaker head-to-head going to the districts, because you don't want to – I mean, you're Pius, you don't want to be traveling to Maryville to go play a district championship game down the line.
You may not have this info, but DeMarco wants – what's the line for tonight's game? To Marco,
well, I'm in Missouri, so I can't give lines.
Come on,
so
Marco.
I was over off state line yesterday. I came real close to driving over the state line and making a bet, but I did not have time to do that.
Yeah, we have gambling parties in Nate's driveway. You're invited anytime you want to. Let us know.
Come on over.
A couple of other games on the Missouri side. My wife is a Van Horn grad, so what about Van Horn at Richmond?
2-3-0 teams. Richmond, very good. Class 2 team has been very good the last few years, and they are really solid, a good football team. Van Horn is 3-0, playing some of its best football, I don't know, in decades. They beat William Crispin last week, which is kind of funny because Van Horn is kind of the, I don't want to say stepchild of Independence, but they don't get as much attendance or you know, attention as Crispin does, especially in football or in other sports. But Van Horn has done a pretty good job of beating Crispin. They beat him for a district title in basketball a few years back, then they beat him in football. And so, you know, Coach Rashad Bird has done a fantastic job with that team. And they're a Class 4 team, but this is a great test for them to play Richmond. And really, Van Horn's got a shot at winning 6, 7, 8 games this year. They've got some tough games down the line, but this is as good a team as they've had in a long time. And it's good to see a school like that take big steps forward.
All right, Dion, let's move over to the Kansas side, where because I can bet in Kansas, I got money on all these games.
Wow.
I don't know. Not really. let's tell me about the player to watch, Leavenworth quarterback Eddie McLaughlin.
Dual threat guy. He's put up huge numbers. They're averaging 60 points a game their first two games. They're playing Lansing this week, which is a great rivalry game. And, you know, now that they started playing in football a few years ago when the Sunflower League schedule opened up, when Leavenworth was still in the Sunflower League. And now they're in the same league, so they play every year, which is fantastic. He is dynamic. I mean, he can throw it, he can run it. He is keying one of the most high-powered offenses in the Metro right now. Now, they played some teams that aren't very good the first 2 weeks, but that's what you're supposed to do if you're a good team. Go out and pound teams that aren't very good, and that's what Leavenworth's doing. Leavenworth's a team to keep an eye on in 5A. We all know Mill Valley is the elite team, but there's always got to be somebody to take a chance to step up and get them. You know, Aquinas is down in 4A this next 2 years, so you know, is Leavenworth going to challenge them? Is the Blue Valley Southwest going to challenge them? Is the Spring Hill going to challenge them? But this is a big week for Leavenworth because Lansing is a tough physical team, and this is the biggest test Leavenworth has had so far this season.
Yeah, my dad's a Leavenworth grad, so he's
he had a tough physical test as well.
Absolutely, he passed it, but he roots for the school anyway. So. You know he legitimately gets pissed off at me when I do this.
I'm not laughing, Mr. St. John, I promise. Here,
Nate told me to say it, Dan. No, so thank you.
Let's go to the team to watch. How about Bishop Miege?
Well, you know, they feel like it's been down years because they've lost in the semifinals the last 2 years. They only won 5 games last year. So they're, you know, is Bishop Miege back? Well, yeah, they're Bishop Miege. They are playing St. James this week, and it's at Aquinas because St. James usually plays their home games at Miege, but they decided to not play this one at Miege's home stadium. But this is a fantastic game. Mac Armstrong in that offense is very good for Miege. He completed passes to 8 different receivers last week. He's putting up 300 yards in the air. Their defense has been outstanding. They pitched a shutout 42-0 over Blue Valley Southwest last week and only gave up 1 score to Blue Valley North the first week. So these two teams have a good chance of meeting again down the line in the playoffs. I don't know if it'll be semifinals or quarterfinals or something like that, but Miege is really playing its best football. And then they've got Rockers in the next couple weeks, so they've got a run here where they're really starting to up the level of their competition, and it's going to be interesting to see how Miege does. And St. James is 0-2, so they're really hungry for a win.
How about the Kansas game to watch was Eudora at Spring Hill?
Well, Spring Hill's 1-1. They lost a tough game to Tonganoxie last week. Spring Hill's a team that is one of the teams to watch in 5A. Eudora's undefeated. They've been rolling the first 2 weeks. This is Spring Hill's first home game of the season, and that's one of those great places to go watch a football game. And they've got a great facility down there. It's kind of out in some farmland, and they call it the Pasture of Pain. Coach Feedback came up with that because he said he used to every day get up and walk to the field, and there was literally a horse in a field across the street that would like whinny at him every day, like he was not very happy that he was out there getting ready for football. But no, both these teams are really physical and tough. It's a good Frontier League team game, and the Frontier League is really, really good this year in terms of the top five or six schools, and it's going to be every time you step out there on the field in the Frontier League, you're going to have a tough game, and this is definitely going to be one of them.
Hey, Dion, before we let you go, I wanted to ask you about the DePasquale Moore. Mike's got this Metro matchup of the week, and it's that features Atchison at Harmon.
Yeah, you know, Harmon is they don't even win this year. they haven't really been in games, but the fact that they're out there playing football is a huge thing. You know, none of the KCK schools played 2 years ago in the fall. They did some spring kind of stuff amongst themselves. And then last year, Harmon got about two or three games in, and the administration, they had some COVID issues. They just kind of shut the program down for the rest of the year, and which was tough to do, but they got a new coach, Keith O'Neill. They had 70-some players out, which is the most I think Harmon's had in a long time. You know, so their numbers are good. They're doing things the right way. Atchison's a good team, and it'll be a tough test for Harmon. But the fact that they're on the field and they're playing – and they've got, you know, good feelings around that program, it says a lot about where they are, because it's sometimes it's real easy to not get enthused about a program that hasn't had much success and really hasn't played much in the last 2 years. But hats off to Coach O'Neill, their athletic director, and everyone at that school that's really working hard to get football back.
Why don't you tell people how they can follow along all the action?
Well, you know, follow us on Twitter at PrepsKC and PrepsKC.com, the PrepsKC app. And you know, on Friday nights, if you're on your Twitter, we always have we're sending out the games to look at. We've got all our live stats. We have live stats and play-by-play from about 25 to 30 games. We have live scores from more than 60. We'll have coverage of about 20 games in the Metro with stories and photos and highlights and things like that. So all the coverage right there from the time the games kick off, or actually a little before, we'll have all kinds of preview stuff today all the way through. And then, you know, of course, all week long, we've got great content every day.
Dion, thanks for the time, my man. We appreciate you.
Thanks. It's always fun.
That's Dion Clissow from Preps KC. Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810's WHB. Let me tell you what we got for you this weekend. We got tremendous high school football coverage tonight. Friday Night Lights. Tomorrow, it all starts with College Game Day featuring Danny Klingscale and Stan Weber. Then we've got Kansas pregame at 1:30. And this is a big matchup. Kansas at Houston at 3:00.
And I'm genuinely excited for that game. Mark, I think it's like 9.
Do
it?
Your job. What's the line, please?
I think it's 9.
This Marco announcement brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. Is it 9?
I thought it was higher than that.
So Kansas at Houston.
Yes.
Wow, Oklahoma and Nebraska still at 11.
Come on.
Gosh, is it a night game?
Come on, partner. 3:00.
Eight and a half.
And so
going on Kansas.
That's Kansas-Houston, followed by Kansas postgame, and then Sporting Kansas City and Minnesota United, followed by the final whistle. So that gets you on a Saturday. How about Sunday? An NFL tripleheader. My God. Tampa against the Saints. Let's go, Jameis Winston. The Big Bag Daddies from Cincinnati Bengals against the Dallas Cowboys. That's a 325. And then Sunday Night Football, Tim Grenhardt's beloved Chicago Bears take on the Green Bay Packers. Oh, my God. If the Bears win this game, they've got a two-game lead over the Packers. Can it happen? Will it happen? It might happen. I don't know. And also, over on our sister station, ESPN Kansas City, we'll have the Patriots and the Steelers and the Texans and the Broncos. Then on Monday Night Football, this one's going to be a good one. The Minnesota Vikings and the Philadelphia Eagles. Is that a battle between two of the best teams in the NFC? Hell, I don't know. But we'll find out who wins. And also, we're going to have Titans and Bills over on ESPN Kansas City on Monday. So we got all these games right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I can't believe it. Timmy can't believe it. He's going to get up and walk away. He's stunned by all this. Do I need to take a break right now? I'll do it for you back after this on WHB.